Coastal cities in Southeast Asia, including Bangkok, Jakarta, and Manila, face a mutually risky future. They are sinking as sea levels around them are rising. Fred DeSam Lazaro has our report from Thailand.
Just 30 miles from Thailand's capital, Bangkok, sits a temple on a small spit of land. The only way in is to walk or hitch a ride with a motorcyclist along a narrow concrete footbridge.
Over my shoulder here are about 2.5 miles of what is today the Gulf of Thailand. As recently as the mid-1990s, this was the village of Samutchin.
Community leader Suan Buaplai points to the lines of what were once power poles disappearing into the distance, marking roads which once connected houses, farms, and markets in a thriving fishing village.
The soil here erodes by 1.5 to 2 inches every year. People have had to move houses 6 or 7 times because the water has kept coming in.
50-year-old Buaplai has been fishing since he was 10.
There's been a decline in mangrove forests, which has led to quite a few species of fish and shellfish disappearing almost entirely.
Slowly, he says, the buffer zone that shielded the capital from the worst is eroding away.
Bangkok has a natural reservoir for water, and if the water comes in, it's very hard for it to get out. If there's flooding and places like Samutchin are no longer around, the water could potentially stay in Bangkok for months.
Thailand's capital was moved here 240 years ago on the banks of the Chao Phraya River, lifeblood to acres of rice paddies, at the time the lifeblood of the economy. Today, this dense concrete megacity of some 10 million residents is sinking at a rate of up to 2/3 of an inch every year. During high tides after some flooding events, the river has risen nearly 10 feet above sea level.
Am I worried? Yes.
I met Warawut Silpa Archa, until recently Thailand's Minister for Natural Resources and Environment, in his high-rise office.
40 or 50 years from now, we might be sitting at sea level here, on the 20th floor.
Many who live at street level already know what that's like.
It's impossible to live here if you don't have a two-story house.
How high the water was.
Surapol Kianakpu, 65, is a retired soldier and lives on a canal in East Bangkok.
What we can carry upstairs, we carry, but sometimes we just have to let it flood. So during the big floods of 2011, we couldn't move appliances like the refrigerators and television, so we just let it flood.
The 2011 floods, the worst in a half century, inundated the city for almost 3 months. More than 800 people died, and it cost the Thai economy $40 billion in factory shutdowns. Thailand is a major manufacturing hub serving global supply chains. The government has built some new dikes and floodgates to hold the water at bay in a future flood, but even former Minister Warawut is skeptical.
I don't think it's adequate enough. We need to move much quicker.
Despite the high stakes, he says, the sense of urgency has waned as memories fade of the 2011 floods.
Some of the infrastructure has been developed since 2011, but unfortunately, I think not many people is really concerned or realize how the magnitude of the problem is.
One with multiple causes.
Rising sea levels are just one factor causing the Thai capital to sink. Millions of new residents and thousands of new high-rises have drained groundwater levels, and many canals that drained into the sea have been paved over.
We grew like rapidly without even thinking about many capacities and many like sustainable urban planning. So we are very addictive to growth. Like, we still want to grow more.
Landscape architect Kochakon Vorakam runs a social enterprise working to increase urban resilience in her hometown.
They will flood more.
She says in recent decades, the city has lost nearly half of its network of 3,000 canals that drain through the Chao Phraya River and into the sea.
Water is life to our culture. But now when you develop the city without concerning the benefits of the natural infrastructure, you shift to road, you have to drive more, you have to build more.
She's working to build a more climate-friendly city. Her hallmark design is Centenary Park, opened 6 years ago, a vast green space in the middle of the city. Graded to harness gravity, the park collects and holds water in an underground reservoir, reducing the flood risk. In dry periods, up to 1 million gallons is available for watering. Another Kochakarn project is Chongnansi Canal Park, above a major canal now reconnected to fresh water to nourish greenery on parkland. Like many waterways, this one had been disconnected from the canal network, leaving it stagnant and polluted.
This main canal is like in the heart of the city, and it's the two main canals that connect to Xiaopeya.
So people moved in here, migrating from rural areas
toward,
to get jobs.
Yes.
She took us to another canal and a community that was among the hardest hit in the 2011 flood.
We need these people to serve the cities, but it's so expensive to commute, so they live in the informal settlement.
Kochakarn's group is working with community leaders to help rehouse families being displaced as authorities plan to widen canals to move floodwaters through faster. She'd like to see more green space ideas, not more concrete, to mitigate the impact of Bangkok's concrete binge.
It's such a lovely city that we still want to be part of it, even with the flood. We used to live with the flood. We are amphibious. We can live in the wet season and dry season. It's not about destroying it, but work with the concrete.
Are you optimistic that something will happen in time, or do you think you're going to lose a lot of this city?
I know something will happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And it's not a choice. Shall we do it or shall we not?
Meantime, not far from the bustling metropolis, in the once-upon-a-time village of Samut Chin, a large statue of Lord Buddha stands on a concrete platform facing the sea, hands outstretched as if holding back the tide. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSam-Lazaro, near Bangkok, Thailand.
And Fred's reporting is a partnership with the Undertold Stories Project at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota.